the connection with tonight's topic is to this Motzei Shabbos is Yom Yerushalayim. So the Gemara tells us, Kol Nesabel Yerushalayim, Kol Nesabel Yerushalayim Zochav Rabbi Simchasa. So all the Balei Musa, the Achronim point out that it shouldn't be Zochav Rabbi Simchasa, it should be Yizke V'Yireh B'Simchasa, that we will, from Nesabel Yerushalayim, we will one day see the Simcha of Yerushalayim. So they all point out that no, Zochav Rabbi Simchasa is in the Avelus we see the Simcha of Yerushalayim, because when something is gone, it ultimately gets forgotten. But it's only when something is not forgotten that you could be confident that it's not really gone, that it's going to be coming back. And that's the what they point out, that by Yaakov Avinu, Rashi points out in Chumash, that ein ames nishtakeach min alev, that ames is nishtakeach min alev, but someone who's a chai, someone who's alive, is not nishtakeach min alev. And that's why Yaakov refused to be misnachem for Yosef. When they tried to be menachem him by Yosef, he refused to be mekabel tanchumin, which is really not proper. A person who's an avel is supposed to accept tanchumin and eventually get on with life. That's the ideal. So why is it that Yaakov refused? He refused to be misnachem because Yosef was still alive. And there is no nechama when something is still alive. That discomfort, that sadness is always going to be there when you expect it back. It's only when there's yeyush, when you don't ever have any hope of getting it back, only then can you accept nechama and not continually be sad. So that's the vart in Kol Nesabel Yerushalayim. Through the Avelus, Rezoch of Rabbi Simchasa, we know that it's going to be coming back. Well, few events in Jewish history have been a greater statement of the possibility that, a greater vision of, or step toward that promise of it coming back than recapturing Yerushalayim in 1967. And seeing the beginnings, seeing the beginning stages of what we hopefully will come to fruition as a proper geula, gives us even more hope that we shouldn't have yeyush and that we should have a sense of Yerushalayim, but not chas v'shalom to use that to stop being misabel, to get so caught up in the celebration of what we do have that we should forget to be misabel about what we don't have. You know, there's a whole tumult whether to erase nachim from Tisha B'Av, because the description in Nachem doesn't really match what we see in Yerushalayim. It describes a city that is Shamema and Bezuya, that is destroyed and plowed over. It's just not what we see. It's a built-up city. So there is, but there is a general feeling, or was for some time after 1967, that what do you mean? There shouldn't be sadness over Chorban. There shouldn't be Avelos. There should be celebration. So we have to realize, no, we still have to have that sense of Avelos, but this seeing that glimmer of hope, seeing that move in that direction should motivate us to what the Avelos can accomplish, to being Mesabel and Yerushalayim properly. And one of the ways that we're Mesabel and Yerushalayim is not only on Tisha B'Av, but throughout the year, where we're Na'alos Yerushalayim al Rosh Simchasenu, we always have all sorts of zichronos of Yerushalayim, whether it be the Efer Makla al Rosh Chasanim, that the Gemara says that you're supposed to put ashes on the head of a chasan, dafka, because when a person is at a time of great simcha, there's a certain risk of forgetting that our simcha cannot be complete without the Beis HaMikdash. But one of the ways that we do this is that, and you open up any bencher, you'll find printed in the bencher prior to benching is are two paragraphs. There's Tehillim Parakuf Chavav Shir HaMalos and Parakuf Lamed Zayin Al Naros Bavel. Now Shir HaMalos has become very popular on Shabbos, on Yontif. I don't know if there's a Shabbos table I've been at where they don't sing Shir HaMalos, and if they forget to, they say, "Oh, we forgot." Meaning it's clearly an issue that people are cognizant of, and people do when they. Al Naros Bavel didn't have as much mazel, it seems, as Shir HaMalos. You don't find so much that people say Al Naros Bavel before benching on a weekday, on a non-Shabbos or Yantiv. So I want to discuss a little bit where the minhag came from to say these things, say Shira Malos and Al Naros Bavel, meaning why dafka, like by a meal, and what exactly is it, which days exactly are Shira Malos days, which days are Al Naros Bavel days, why is it that the minag seems to have become not to say Al Naros Bavel, and through that we'll touch upon a number of other interesting topics as well. So where it all starts is the Gemara Maseches Brachos and Daf Gimel. The Gemara the Gimel Amud Aleph toward the bottom of the page, but it appears in the top of your page, page one over here. The Gemara tells us Amar of Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Mishmei Derav Shalosh Mishmaros Havi Alayla Val Kol Mishmar Mishmar Yosef Hakadosh Baruch Hu Vishoei Kaari VaOmer Oil Bonim Shabov Nasem Echrafti Espesi Visrafti Esechali Viglisim Lebein Hu Umos Olam, that there are three mishmaros in the night, and for each mishmar Hashem sits there roaring like a lion and saying, woe to my sons, my children, that in their sins I destroyed my house, I burnt my Heichal, and I sent them into Galus. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through the night, cries out over the Churban. So the Rush over there in Maseches Brachos points out that why are we ever told about the behavior of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It doesn't even make sense to use the word behavior when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have no idea what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. The reason we're ever told about any of his midos and any of his behaviors is Mahu Afata, that we should understand that we're supposed to use that as a model, as something to model our own behavior. And therefore, says the Rush, Ro'i l'kol yirei shamayim, she meitzar v'doeg ba'os ha'sha'a, that specifically in nighttime, a person should be worried and concerned, v'lishpoch tachnunim al churban beis hamikdash, and should offer tefilos about the churban habayish. Never kumi roni b'layla l'rosh ha'shmores. And that's paskind in Shulchan Aruch, in Simin Aleph of Shulchan Aruch, Roy l'kol yirei shamayim, she meitzar v'doeg al churban beis hamikdash. That's where the notion of tikkun chatzos comes from. That specifically during the nighttime we cry out over the Churban HaBayis. Great, so that tells me, that tells me that there is this inyan of crying out over the Churban HaBayis. What does that have to do with a meal? What does that have to do with food? So the Zohar in Parshas Truma specifically emphasizes that when a person eats, when a person is enjoying himself, and one of the primary ways one enjoys the physical world is through food, that's a time where we dafka have to go out of our way to bring the Churban into the center of our consciousness again. That's what the Zohar emphasizes. And therefore, the Zohar says that habocha l'churban, someone who cries over the Churban during a su'uda, it's as if he was bana beis hamikdash. So the Shla Kadosh points out, based on that, al kenogin lomar mizmar al naros bavel kodim birchas hamazon. That's why we say al naros bavel before birchas hamazon, because the shulchan is b'makom mizbeach, and therefore we cry over the fact that we don't have a mizbeach, so we recite al naros bavel. This Shla Kadosh is quoted by the Magen Avram in Siman Aleph Sifkat Nehei, and by the Mishnah Brura. And that's the idea of crying over the Churban HaBayis, or at least mentioning it during a meal time. It seems though that there's more to it than that. That the idea of dafka doing it during a meal appears in another Gemara as well. The Gemara Maseches Bava Basra tells us what the immediate reaction upon the Churban HaBayis Sheni was. People didn't know how to react. What should we do differently? They knew that we have to do something differently because it was such a critical event. So Tan Rabbanan, the Gemara says, Kishachar v'abayis b'shniya, Rabu Prushin b'Yisrael sh'lol echabasar v'sh'lol ishlos yayin. People wanted to make a new practice that we could no longer eat meat and drink wine. How could we eat meat and drink wine? We don't have a base of Mikdash. Nitvalen Rabbi Shua, Amalen, Banai. So Rabbi Shua asked them, what's the story with this new minhag that you have? No meat, no wine? How could we eat meat? It's going to remind us of the meat of the Karbanos. How could we drink wine? It's going to remind us of Nisach HaYayin and the Mizbech. Then you shouldn't eat bread either, because there's no carbon mincha anymore either. They said, you're right. Efshar beperos. We'll eat only fruits. We'll be, super vegan. Peros l'nachal, then you shouldn't eat fruits either. Shekvar batul bikurim. because there's no more bikurim, and the peros were brought for bikurim. It's only seven peros, but efshem peros acherim. No, no, we could exist on apples and oranges. We don't have to have those seven peros that are brought the shivas aminim. We don't need shivas aminim. We'll survive in everything else. So they said, okay, but then mayim lo nishta shekvar batal nisach hamayim. Even though it was only once a year, there was nisach hamayim on the mizbeach, so you shouldn't be allowed to drink water either. And they realized that there's no answer to that. They can't survive without water. So shasku, they were quiet. So amr lehen banai. He says, your heart's in the right place. To not be misabel, e'efshar. It's impossible to not be misabel about the korban. You have to. Misabel yosem midai, e'efshar. Shein goes in gzera al-tibur, and kinrov tibur chalun lamaba. But you have to keep in mind long-term. You know, sometimes a person feels pain so immensely that they think that what feels like a natural reaction now is going to feel like a natural reaction in 3 months from now, or in a year from now. And it doesn't. It will not be the same. That's why in the recording you sent me, when Rabbi Eisman spoke after Yisrael Levin and Elisheva Kaplan, Zichronim Levracha, were killed, Rabbi Yisrael Eisman was so careful to say, whatever Kabbalah, he was talking to the counselors at Camp Aguda, he said, whatever Kabbalahs you take, it has to be very small. Why? He doesn't want people doing big mitzvahs? Of course he wants people doing big mitzvahs, but he wants it to last. And when you feel like, of course, such a terrible tragedy, I would do anything. I would do I'm going to give all my money to Stuck. I'm going to do it. That's how you feel in the moment. But you have to realize that time has a way of, sort of dulling the senses a little bit. So it's got to be something very, very small. So he's telling them, you're going to have to be very moderate in how the behavior is going to change. So just wholesale change. No meat, no wine. That's crazy. You can't do that. So he told them, so what do you do when you plaster your house? Leave out an amma by an amma. When you prepare a meal, leave over a little bit. So, okay, meaning that's not complete. But what do you see? The whole conversation was about food. Meaning right after the Churban Bayis, they knew that something had to change. And right away, the first thing they went for was food. Why? Because primarily that's what we brought as karbanos. We brought meat, we brought flour, we brought wine, we brought water. So that's what was brought in the Beis HaMikdash. So dafka, when partaking of food, we're still going to eat it. We still eat the meat, we still eat the bread, we still drink the wine, we still do all those things. But maybe dafka, when partaking of food, that's when we want to remember Yerushalayim in particular. And that's why we have Al Nar Zbavel and Shir HaMelos, specifically by a Su'uda. Now, also, the Zohar emphasizes that when a person enjoys food, his simcha is going to cause him to forget the Churban HaBayis. Meaning there's this element of the food representing that which was done in the Beis HaMikdash, but also the food removing one's attention from the Churban HaBayis. So why Al Naros Bavel, not any other mizmar that's about the Churban? So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes that the Besefer Seder Yom Darash Smuchin Le'inyin Zeh Shebemizmar Shalefnei Zeh Misayim Nosein Lechem L'chol Basar. The Samachle Al Naros Bavel. In Tehillim Perakuf Lamed Vav, it says Nosein Lechem L'chol Basar. So it talks about food. So right after it talks about food, Al Naros Bavel. So yes, David wrote a lot about the Churban HaBayis, but Tillim talks about all sorts of, we could have picked all sorts of chapters to describe these emotions, but we dafka want the one that comes in the heels of Nosein Lechem L'chol Basar. Then there's a third element that the Aruch HaShulchan highlights. So far we have the idea that food, we have two so far, right? That food represents all of the karbanos, and the idea that food has a tendency to divert our attention from sad things and brings us a sense of happiness and a sense of heschadas from the Churban. Right? That's what the Gemara says, that lo nivra yayin ela lenachim ba'os avelim, that wine was created for the purpose of nichem avelim. That's why an onein is asr lishtos yayin. Why? Because an oni is not allowed to have nechama. There's no nechama velim for an oni. Nechama is only once there's kavura. That's when the nechama process begins. So wine, and it used to be the Gemara tells in Maseches Ksuvos, they had asara kosos of yayin in a beis avel. They would drink, like we have dalad kosos at the seder, they would drink 10 kosos of yayin. They realized it doesn't work out to make a proper beis avel atmosphere when you have 10 kosos of yayin. But initially, that was that, because wine was created lenachimbo as ha'avelim. So we have those two elements. But then the Aruch HaShulchan highlights a third element. Aruch HaShulchan writes, Ein ledaber be'emtza ha'achila. V'kach omer chazal b'taynis. Ein masichin b'sudah shem yaktim kana l'veshet. Gemara in Taynis warns you shouldn't talk during the meal because you could choke. V'yavli de sakana. D'kshiyotzi ha'kol niftach l'sokovish al p'yakana v'nichs pa'amach l'mistakin. He gives a biology lesson of how it works, that when you talk with a mouthful, you're going to choke. V'nire d'bein machl l'machl mutter. Between courses, it's okay to talk. That's when you could sing a zemer, you could say a dvar Torah. But then he quotes a prisha that says, even between courses, it should be absolutely silent, because it's a worthwhile gzera to make, lest your conversation get too interesting, and it continue during the meal, and then you'll choke, and the chamira sakanta meisura, we have to be very careful about this. That's what's mashman maseches tainis. That even divrei Torah, because that's what the attempted conversation was about, was in divrei Torah, and he wouldn't talk because you're not allowed to. That was the Yaakov Vina Lomais Gemara, if I'm not mistaken. So the ein lishol da'atnan ba'avos. So says Yerach Hashulchan Apashar Akasha. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Kol shulchan shlo amra lav divrei Torah kilu achu mizivchei meisim. That any shulchan doesn't have divrei Torah, it's like you're eating mizivchei meisim. Aye, but the Gemara Tanya says you're not allowed to talk at your table. So what are you supposed to? Do? So he says the next line, v'yeshlom demeshkachas la'achar achila. Inami kodim netilas yadayim. That the way the Tanaim envisioned it was that the divrei Torah would come after you finish eating, or before netilas yadayim, k'shemech nesatzma l'su'uda, when you're preparing for the su'uda. Inami lach b'rech samotzi da'adayin lo hischa le'achol rak ha'motzi b'lvad. Ve'etzleinu yotzim b'masha omrim al naros bavel kodim b'rech samazon. How are we yotze the inyan of saying divrei Torah by a table? The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that it shouldn't be zivchei mesim by saying al naros bavel before b'rech samazon. U'b'shabz yom tov rosh chodesh omrim shir amalos b'shuv. Meaning, if there is this inyan that everyone has to learn Torah at their table, that's great for people who are b'nei Torah, who are able to share divrei Torah at their table. They didn't used to have a million books in English that you could just read a divrei Torah from, and there were the large majority of people were not literate enough to be able to share divrei Torah. So what do? They incorporate these two paragraphs, which are prakim of Tehillim, so it's prakim of Tanakh. So that with those paragraphs, you yotze the inyan of saying divrei Torah, so that your meal is not like you're eating zivchei mesim. So that is a third toeles in the Al Naros Bavel and Shir HaMalos. So those are the three basic approaches as to what we accomplish when we say Al Naros Bavel and Shir HaMalos. Now, which days are Al Naros Bavel days and which days are Shir HaMalos days? So Shlach HaKadosh says Shabbos and Yom Tov is Shir HaMalos. Mishmura says days that we don't say Tachnun is Shir HaMalos. So how far do you take that? Like all of Chodesh Nisan? If it's a Rebbe's yard site, if it's a, like a bris in the shul, like how far do you take the days that are Shir HaMalos, the days that you don't say? Does it mean only when it's the character of the day, when it's an actual day of Yom Tov? There's some people that never say Tachnun. I just got an email today. Someone sent me a shayla that he davens at an office Mincha Minyan, and he says all the offices Mincha Minyanim in the city. You guys could probably tell me if this is true. He says they just don't say Tachnun. Like. You don't.
Two of them, there are two
near
they both say.
Yeah. Two by you that both say, okay. So this guy told me they don't say Tachnun. He says every day, he's at a minyan, they do a full Chazaras HaShas, they don't do a Kedusha, but no Tachnun, every single day. And so he said that he started the practice of saying Tachnun while they're saying Aleinu, And then when everyone leaves, he says Aleinu. So someone told him, Yal Tifrash Min HaTzibur. It's also skilled to do that. You shouldn't be doing against the whole Tzibur. So he wanted to know, should I be skipping Tachnun? It's a good shayla. No, should I be maybe Friday night? Should I be skipping Tachnun every single day? Because they decided not to say Tachnun. What's their heter not to say Tachnun? You know, people have it. Yeah, there's Shita Sagon in the Torah quote that Tachnun is a Rishos, that Tachnun is not a Chova, so you're allowed to skip Tachnun. It's not the biggest Avera to skip Tachnun, right? Unless you're davening in Satmar and Yom Atzmut, then you're not allowed to skip Tachnun. But right, they have the signs, they always put out, you know, that even if there's a bris, it was a machlokas actually, it was a machlokas between the two Satmar Rebbe's. This year, I saw someone sent me that one of them said afilu if there's a bris in shul, and the other one said no chutz if there's a bris. You know, if there's a bris, then you wouldn't say tachlun. So one of them is a big Zionist. He allowed skipping tachlun in Yom Ha'atzmaut if there was a bris in the shul. But so there is room to say tachlun is more of a rishus. But you know, I remember when I got married, Mishnah Berurah says that a chassan shouldn't go to shul because you're going to stop the tzibur from saying tachnun. So I asked Rav Shachter if I should not go to shul during Shavuot brachos for Shachris because it's going to stop the tzibur from saying tachnun, like Mishnah Berurah says. So I was expecting to say, yeah, stay home. You know, you get a week off. He said, no, it's a big deal. So the tzibur won't say tachnun; they won't get so angry at you. He said, but if it's a tzibur that's always looking for a chassan, that you know, so that they never have to say tachnun, don't go to such a tzibur. Don't indulge them. You know, they should learn that they should have to say tachnun. I don't know if such a tzibur that like takes out ads and looks for the chasim of some people who don't want to say tachnun, just won't say tachnun. But so how do we define which are the days that you do, which are the days that you don't? The Aruch HaShulchan writes, B'Shabbos, Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, you say Shir Malos. So he doesn't mention any other days. Shabbos, Yom Tov, and Rosh Chodesh. So the Mishnah Berurah says that we don't say Tachnun, Samach L'Knisas HaShabbos. If someone eats a pas, Achar Chatzos, he therefore shouldn't say Al Naros Bavel, he should only say Shir Malos. If he eats bread after Chatzos on Erev Shabbos. That issue itself, whether you're allowed to do that, whether you're allowed to be eating bread late in the day on Erev Shabbos, is an interesting sugya. The Gemara in Gittin, Daf Lamaches, tells us that there were two mishpachos in Yerushalayim. One of them was Kovei Asuda b'Shabbata, one of them was Kovei Asuda b'Erev Shabbos, and both families were uprooted. So Rashi writes, they were Kovei Asuda during the time of the Drasha, and they were Mevatel Torah, and that's why the family was uprooted. That's the one that was Kovei Asuda on Shabbos. That's what's so bad about being Kovei Asuda on Shabbos. The one that was Erev Shabbos, Rashi says, Oshaya Belel Shabbos Shasa Drasha. Either it was Friday night at the time of the Drasha. They used to have a Drasha on Friday night as well, after the Suda, everyone would come back and learn in Shul. So they were Kovei the Suda at that time. Oshaya Ochlim Achalim Noyim Biyoser Belaila. Or they ate the best foods at night, and you're not supposed to do that. The Gemara Pesachim tells us, Kavod Yom, Kavod Laila, Kavod Yom Adif. So if you have your one meal where you're going to serve on your fine china, and one meal where it's going to be the less fine china, or something like that, so Kavod Yom Adif, that better to do to serve, or one meal where you can have your favorite dessert or something, Kavod Yom Adif. So maybe that's what they violated. And then Rashi says, maybe it means not Friday night, but Erev Shabbos. That Erev Shabbos, they shouldn't be eating so much because you want to be hungry for the Friday night meal. So you see that there is such an inyan that you're not supposed to eat a su'uda chashuva on Erev Shabbos. In Pesachim, Daf Tzadi Tes, the beginning of Arvei Pesachim, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Be'erev Shabbos ochel v'holich ad shetechshach. That in Erev Shabbos, you can keep on eating until it gets dark. So the Beis Yosef quotes that Rov Rishonim hold that you're allowed to begin a su'uda ad shetachshach, and l'chor it's a stir and sugyas according to that Rashi, because Rashi tells us that in Gittin it's telling you not to eat late in the day on Erev Shabbos. So the Ramban gives two yeshuvim. Number one, the Ramban says, if you do it once in a while, you can eat ad shetachshach. But you shouldn't do it every Erev Shabbos. I mean, the mishpacha was ne'akeres, because that was their thing. Every Erev Shabbos, they were eating this big feast late in the day on Erev Shabbos. And that shouldn't be your family thing. So once in a while, you're hungry or whatever, that's okay. Then the Ramban says, it could be that it's not the achila that's asur, it's the esek and the tirda, that they were osek in the su'uda, and that pulled them away from achana for Shabbos. And that's why they were nekar. Beis Yosef says, no, the chiluk is, and this is most important la halacha, between a small achila, which you're allowed to do, and a kviya su'uda, which is asur. So then it becomes a question, what exactly is a kviya su'uda? The Rambam says you're not allowed to be kviya su'uda mishtan erev Shabbos because of kavod Shabbos. But you're allowed to eat a little bit, drink a little bit, ad shetachshach. But even that, best to avoid min hamincha lamayla. So the Magen Mishnah explains that on the whole day you're not allowed to be kviya su'uda mishtan, meaning a larger than normal su'uda. Min hamincha lamayla, not even a regular su'uda, min hamincha lemaila. So, and that's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch. So you shouldn't have like a big party on a Friday at any point on Friday, meaning something that would be more than a normal meal. Min hamincha lemaila, not even a regular su'uda. I don't think there's anything about not eating meat or not becoming fleshed or something like that on Erev Shabbos. I haven't found that anywhere, although I've heard big Talmidei Chachamim quote this halacha and say that with the understanding that a feast would mean meat, that it can't be fleishig on Erev Shabbos after Chatzos. I'm not sure that's the case. I haven't been able to find any Mar Makomos like that. But okay, but that might be a Shira Malos time, not an Al Naros Bavel time. As far as a wedding, Sheva Brachos, Bris, Pidyon HaBen, so the Piskei Tshuvos quotes that the poskim are mesubach about all these things, and you could say that there's a difference between a personal family simcha and a day of simcha for Klal Yisrael. Tisha B'Av is an interesting one. So Tisha B'Av is not really a shaila, you're not eating on Tisha B'Av. Erev Tisha B'Av. We already don't say tachlon on Erev Tisha B'Av at mincha, right? So because why Tisha B'Av is a moed? By the way, parenthetically, why is Tisha B'Av a moed? For the same reason that we said, because there's a character of moed to it right now already. We know that it will be a moed, but right now there's a character of moed to it because the very fact that we're still able to be Mesabel is the greatest raya that we're going to get Yerushalayim back. So do you say, okay, so don't say Al Naros Bavel because it's a time where you don't say Tachlin? That would seem weird. It would seem like if there was ever a time that you should say Al Naros Bavel, it should be that time. There are many people that have the minhag that they say they don't say Al Naros Bavel all year round, but during the 9 days or during the 3 weeks, they'll say Al Naros Bavel. And again, it makes sense. I mean, all of this is a minhag, but it certainly makes sense. So the Makar Chaim quotes such a minhag that during Bein HaMetzarim, Tadafka say Al Naros Bavel. But what I'm most interested in is the reason that people seem to have the minhag not to say Al Naros Bavel. So a couple of explanations that I came across, more than a couple, four I think, that I came across. Number one, Rav Nevin Sal in Yerushalayim B'Mo'adeha says that when you say Divrei Torah B'toch HaSu'udah, you don't really need to say Al Naros Bavel, meaning this goes back to the reasons we suggested before. Why do we need Al Naros Bavel? So if you hold like the Aruch HaShulchan that the Iker Toelis of Al Naros Bavel is just to make sure that you have Divrei Torah B'toch HaSu'udah, so amongst Pidei Torah, where we always have Divrei Torah B'toch HaSu'udah, there's no need to say Al Naros Bavel. The weakness with that explanation is twofold. First of all, that was only one of the three explanations of why to say Al Naros Bavel. What about the fact that you want to remember the Chorban dafka through food because that's what was used as the, you know, for the Korbanos? What about the fact that the food is going to distract you from the Chorban Abayis? Right? So that's one problem with this approach. The other problem with this approach is it's not just that the minhag is not to say Al Naros Bavel. The minhag is to yes say Shira Malos and not to say Al Naros Bavel. That's challenging, because if the whole idea is that we're saying Divrei Torah anyway, think about all the meals that you've had where Divrei Torah have been said. What percentage of those meals were on Shabbos, and what percentage of those meals were during the week? Now, ideally, it should be every meal, every day, but But come on, it happens on Shabbos. Shabbos is when the Divrei Torah really gets shared. So if anything, it should have been the reverse, that we say Al Naras Bavel during the week and not on Shabbos. So I was unsatisfied with Rav Nevensal's approach. You know, there was a legend going around in the old city, in the at least amongst the American yeshivas, in Yeshivat HaKotel, Yeshivat Netivarye, that a boy asked Rav Nevensal, why is it that the people don't say Al Naras Bavel anymore? And Rav Nevensal didn't understand the question. He said, what? People don't say Al Naras Bavel? Like he couldn't believe that people don't say Al Naras Bavel. So I asked Rav Ami Merzel, who's a very close Talmud of Rav Nevensal, is a Rebbe in the Tivari, he runs a Smicha program there. So I asked him if that's a true story. Whenever I hear Rav Nevensal's story, that's my go-to guy. So he said, I don't know if it's a true story or not. I know that I asked Rav Nevensal why people don't say Al Naras Bavel. And all he said was, Chaval, that people don't say Al Naras Bavel, they really should. So maybe that was after the first story when the first kid educated him on the fact that people don't, but he said Chaval, that people don't, which I found fascinating because all of the Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach's farim say, Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't say Al Naras Bavel. So that Rav Nevensal would criticize that. Rav Nevensal was a very, very, very close Talmud of Rav Shlomo Zalman. They were chavrusas every day for over two decades. Rav Shlomo Zalman used to call Rav Nevensal Erev Yom Kippur to ask him for a bracha, because Rav Shlomo Zalman held that Rav Nevensal was the tzaddik hadar. He, I think Rav Bina told me once that, more than once, that Rav Shlomo Zalman used to say about Rav Nevensal that that in Sitkus, he's from the Gedolei Hadar. And in learning, he's not from the Ketanei Hadar either. You know, so he was very impressed by Rav Nevensal's Sitkus, so he thought that a bracha from Rav Nevensal was a valuable thing, a valuable use of Rav Shlomo Zalman's time on Erev Yom Kippur. But anyway, it was so hard to imagine that Rav Nevensal would say, would say that it's chaval that people don't say it when Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't say it. Okay, but anyway, however to touch up that up for Rav Nevensal, I guess someone could ask him that question. Maybe I'll ask Rav Ami to ask him that question. A second possible explanation: Sefer Piskei Tshuvos, he writes from Magid Taluma, the Bnei Yisachar, on Maseches Brachos, that Besudash Tumicha Mesum Ba'om Shir Malos Blo Al Naros. Ukmokin Yishaskim in a grab Matom Shir Tamir Om Shir Malos Vlo Al Naros Bavel. And he quotes many holy tzaddikim that had this practice. Meaning, what he's alluding to is that one of the goals of Chassidus in general, of the movement of Chassidus, was to bring more simcha into Avodas Hashem. That Avodas Hashem should not be a chore and should not be depressing and should not be. So, always to bring as much simcha in as possible. So, they wanted to introduce, to get rid of the Al Naras Bavel, which is a real downer, and instead incorporate Shir HaMalos as much as possible. That's an unsatisfactory explanation, seemingly because if that's the case, then we should always be saying Shir HaMalos. It seems that during the week people don't say anything. It's not that they're okay, but you understand they don't want to become sad. Now, I thought maybe you could explain this inyan of the Shir HaMalos versus the Al Naras Bavel, loosely based on something I heard from Rav Shechter many times in the name of Rav Soloveitchik. I think we've mentioned it here many times. The way Rav Soloveitchik formulated it is that we find two different sugyas in Shas about Zecher Lemigdash. We have the sugya that we discussed before, the Gemara in Bava Basra, that tells us Imashkachich Yerushalayim, and therefore Amal Ama in your house, and the Efremakab Rosh Chasanim, and leave something out of a woman's jewelry or Tachshitin, and leave, you know, all of that. And then there's a totally different sugya about Lulav Nitol Mesech HaSukkah, that Lulav Nitol Kol Shiva Zecher LeMikdash. So we take lula for all 7 days of Sukkot, even though Midar Raisa, outside of the Mikdash, you're only supposed to take lula for one day. Why? Zecher LeMikdash. Remember how they used to do it in the Mikdash. And we quote an entirely different pasuk. The Gemara in Sukkot Daf Mem Alef quotes a pasuk, Tzion hi doreshein la, mechlal debay drisha. It's very unusual. You have two sukkis in Shas that both talk about Zecher LeMikdash. None of the examples overlap of what a Zecher LeMikdash actually is. And they're two separate psukim that they're quoting. That you don't have to be the biggest brisker in the world to realize that there's tzvei dinim over here, right? Meaning these are two psukim leading you to two totally different sets of examples. So Soloveitchik pointed out, yeah, the Gemara uses the term Zecher LeMikdash in both contexts. One of the places the Gemara means Zecher l'Churban, and in the other place it means Zecher l'Mikdash, meaning one is to be cognizant of the Churban, to be focused on the Churban, to be saddened by the Churban. That's Bal Basra. Im Eshkachech Yerushalayim, we do sad things. Ama Bayama, the ashes on the head of the Chasan. That's what that whole Gemara is about. The other one, Siyun Hi Dori Sheinla, is Zecher l'Mikdash. Remember how the Mikdash used to run in its prime. So you have Lulav Nital Kol Shiva. You do things like they did in the Mikdash. That's an entirely different pasuk. So it would turn out that maybe that's the dichotomy a little bit of Al Naras Bavel and Shir HaMalos. They're both about the Mikdash, but maybe the Al Naras Bavel is more of an emphasis on the Zecher l'Churban, whereas Shir HaMalos were Mekayim more the Zecher l'Mikdash. And that's what the Hasidim were sort of angling for. They wanted a little more emphasis on the Zecher l'Mikdash, a little bit less on the Zecher l'Churban. And that's why they got rid of Al Naras Bavel. Okay, that's a second possibility. A third possibility, I don't remember where I saw this. You have, in the copies I gave out, I don't know why this happened, I accidentally printed out all my editor's comments on the side. So, you know, you get to see where he tells me what an idiot I'm being. So so he told me on this one that I forgot to quote Amar Malkum. I have to remember where I saw this. That some suggest not say Al Naras Bavel, because it's only effective if you say it with a certain amount of kavana. And during the week, we're too busy to have proper kavana. So we sort of cut down benching a little bit. We don't want to lengthen anything. So he just said, you'll destroy every bracha and every tefillah with such a svara. That's what the editor wrote on the side. Every bracha and every tefillah, because we're too busy for them. So you better quote a Maram Makom so someone can look that up and see if such a svara exists. Okay, fair point. A final possibility. So that's about the kavana element. A final possibility is just a time element. I accidentally mentioned both within the third. It's just a time element that on a weekday, people tend to be very busy, and therefore we try to cut down benching, not because you're not going to be able to have kavana, you're just not going to have the time to go through too much. We've discussed in the past the notion of cutting down benching on a weekday in general, whether that's a good idea or a bad idea. It's certainly something that has a basis in the Gemara. The Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Nachman, Moshe tikkun Yisrael birchas hazan, b'sha shiyar lehem man, Yeshua tikkun lehem birchas haaretz, kim shenichas la'aretz, David l'shom tikkun bon Yerushalayim, David tikkun al Yisrael amchal Yerushalayim, yirach l'shom. So it goes through all of the stages. And then the Beis Yosef asks, why is it that the first three brachos are daraisa? The Gemara says that it's not true, that Moshe, Yoshua, David, and Shlomo. So he says, no, midaraisa, you only have to mention the inyanim that are mentioned in the first three brachos. But these different generations were misakin a particular matbeya. And that's why, says the Beis Yosef, the Gemara says in brachos Dav Mem, that Binyamin Raya birech brich rachmana dahai pita. Binyamin Raya, his Birch Samazan was Birch Rachmana Daipita, and he was Yotzi, the first bracha of Birch Samazan with that. That was not the Nusach that Moshe Rabbeinu was Misakein, but the Nusach Moshe Rabbeinu was Misakein was a Nusach Midrabanan. Midaraisa, you just got to get the basic theme. So therefore, says the Beis Yosef, even though we don't say the same exact Matbeya that David and Shlomo said, because it can't be we're saying the same Matbeya that David and Shlomo said, because we're asking Uvnei Yerushalayim. It wouldn't have made sense for Shlomo Melch to be asking Uvnei Yerushalayim, right? Meaning he had it. It was. So it wouldn't make sense for that to be the exact matbeah. So you see already that there was some flexibility in the nusach of the brachos of Birch Samazon. And but there are certain elements that are absolutely makev. The Gemara Maseches Brachos tells us, Rabbi Lazar Amar Kol Shelo Amar Eretz Chemda Tovu Ruchava Birch Saaretz Umalchus Bezdav Baruch Yerushalayim Lo Yotzi Yidei Chavaso Nachma Zakin Omer Tzarek Sheyizkor Bris. So there are several elements that have to be mentioned. So we've discussed in the past, is it an appropriate thing to sort of abbreviate Birch Samazon? Rabbi Abadi in a tshuva in Or Yitzchak and Siman Nun Tes writes that he suggests a nusach very abbreviated nusach of Birchas HaMazon that he thinks people should have during the week, they'll be able to focus from beginning to end. And he points out that he's not the first one to introduce such a nusach, and he thinks that it was a great chesed to Klal Yisrael to do this, and that it's going to enhance people's benching. It's not going to take away. And Adrabi says the Yotzi Kaladeos when you say the nusach, so you shouldn't hide such a nusach from people. And he says, even those who would say the long benching, and now they say the short benching, Rabbi Abadi writes, Matsasi bracha, the harbe biglala richus abracha, mihirus asman, enum nosim leiv klal, lemasha motzim befihem. That sometimes when you could cut it down a little bit, it will increase the focus. That's what he argues. I wasn't comfortable with the whole thing. I think, like, you have a benching, you should say it. Okay, so stop at Ali Chasreinu if you can't focus the whole time. And then you can focus at least for that much. We should be able to focus. But anyway, but at the very least, Al Naras Bavel is only a minag. And if you find that no one's having kavana throughout the whole thing, so the first thing you'd cut out is the minag. The rest of it is not a minag. It's a nusach habracha, nitkan al yidei Moshe and David and Shlomo. So you don't want to be cutting those things out. So it would seem that Al Naras Bavel would be the proper thing to cut out. So maybe that's the svara, why to cut it out of benching. But just to make the argument on the other side, there's a fascinating story, I guess, that the Debre Tzinah Rav tells in his Be'er Moshe, Chelecha Simen Samach Aleph. And he says, I have to tell you that when I was a very young bacher, I used to say Al Naras Bavel every single day, and you know what happened? The boys in yeshiva made fun of me. They laughed at me. No one says Al Naras Bavel. What is wrong with you? You're so strange. And he said, you know what I did? I stopped saying Al Naras Bavel. I gave in to the peer pressure. And he said, Shonim, Achar Shonim passed, and I didn't say it. And then one day I started saying Al Naras Bavel again before Birchas HaMazon, Vani Omer Vodia Baradim, Shemei Oz Hischalti Lahargish Hisorus Gadol Bekol Ramachi Varivish Sagidai, Vagam Shanira Kegeus Viuara, Lo Ichbetli Yomar Lomer Mashi Yomar, Vani Baatsmi Yodea, Shalo Legeus Viuara Kasafti, Vani Bazes Nafshi Hitzalti. He says, now I can tell you I feel it through my entire body because of all those lost years where I didn't say it because I gave in to peer pressure. And I feel the sense of Avelis and the Chorban, and I'm not telling you this because I want to tell you Gaiva that I'm so great to be a Bal Gaiva. I'm telling you this because we'll lie, Acherim Yilmedu, V'yaschilu Lomer, V'zeh Yeschari, Mikol Amali. He says sometimes there is an inyan when a person wants to do tshuva for a failure in a certain area. So what poskim often recommend as a derech tshuva is to be mechazik other people in that area. We had this when we discussed once someone who found at the age of 40 he got his tefillin checked and found that they were missing a word. So his tefillin were puzzled his entire life. So one of the darkei tshuva, I think I read this in my sefer, one of the darkei tshuva that we suggest is be mechazik the inyan of tefillin for other people. Help sponsor tefillin for people who can't afford it. Help other people do the mitzvah better. So Debre Tzinah Rav says, I missed out all those years of Al Naras Bavel because those people, those rotten bachrim that were making fun of me. So that's why I'm telling this story. So everyone who reads Tshuvas Ber Moshe, Chel Ches, will be nischazik to say Al Naras Bavel. And he says, and also, he gives a warning that if your friends make fun of you, don't worry about it. He says it's the first Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. Lo yispayish mnei adam amaligim alav bavodus Hashem. And we have to remember that first Ramah that we should never be embarrassed. So at the end of the day, what do we have over here? We quoted three possible reasons to say Al Naras Bavel and Shir HaMalos. We suggested four possibilities of why Al Naras Bavel fell out of favor. None of those possibilities seem to be particularly compelling. It seems that, again, we're talking about a minhag over here. This isn't a halacha. So it's not like, and the nature of minhag is hecha de nog nog, hecha de lo nog lo nog. So if it's not the minhag, it's not like a terrible thing if we happen to not have that minhag or observe that minhag. But it does seem a little strange that we latched onto Shir HaMalos and not Al Naras Bavel. The one thing I failed to mention, maybe just quickly over here, is the extra psukim that people have at the end of Shira Malus that are printed in some of the benches. It seems that that's a misunderstanding, that those psukim were meant to replace Shira Malus, not to be a supplement to Shir HaMalos. You know, the Mi Yamalel, Tilas Hashem, the Sfardim don't say Shir HaMalos and Al Naros Bavel. If you look in the Sfardic Sidurim, they say different psukim in Tehillim and Koheles and whatever, and Yechezkel, they say a variety of psukim. So those psukim were printed for Sfardim who are going to have that practice. So then, you know, but people sometimes don't know what to say, so they just read down the page. So that's how that practice started, that people say the Mi Yamalel, Tilas Hashem. It was really conflating these two minhag of saying it. You know, I always thought that it said it, you know, it was in the bench, so you have to say it. And then, but I couldn't find any source of where you're supposed to say it. It's based on the fact that Sfardim said that instead of saying the regular Shir HaMalos. Okay.